Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
yeah.
Live, Ida.
Okay, welcome everybody to our Tuesday night show with Dr. Lolly. It is June 7th, and if I'm counting my days right, it's the first show of June. And I'd like to say we will welcome Dr. Lolly to the house and to all of our guests and our regulars. And in speaking with Dr. Lolly earlier, you know, we've all been going through so many trials and tribulations, so many pains and sorrows, but through it all, we've had some good things. Dr. Lolly celebrated a birthday, and we're glad for that, very, very happy that she's seen another year come. And to all of our guests from Canada and the United States and wherever else we are today, and to Nathan, thank you so much. He's an awesome, awesome person for hosting this show. He's been an awesome, awesome friend to me through all of my trials that I've been going through. And Nathan, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we're not going to continue there, but I want to go ahead and get the show started because Dr. Lolly has a great show lined up for us about the things that are going on in the world of EMF. And Dr. Lolly, are you there?
I am here, Ida, and I want to thank you and Nathan on the spot for being our gracious host this evening. You're always fabulous. Thank you for your faithfulness and your belief in this mission and in this cause of making the world a better place by educating the public to reduce your exposure to electromagnetic frequency fields as in electronics, in the electrical currents of your home and your school and workplace, and even in your car. And so I just really appreciate you being on the line tonight. And I really just want to reiterate the fact that the purpose of this radio show is an educational forum. These technologies are not designed that we're going to discuss our green technologies. They are not designed to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any type of disease. They are designed to, as an electrical safety device, to help block static radiation. But what has happened is that the end users of the product have become so inquisitive and so investigative until they're exploring such other uses of the technology, and that's what we're excited about. We're here to share what is happening in the world of environmental health because, ladies and gentlemen, things are changing. There's a paradigm shift in the medical community. Things are improving, and I have myself and a couple of members of my team at Columbia were sponsored to come down to a biomedical engineering conference in Tampa, Florida. And so I was right in the middle of Hurricane Colin. Yes, Hurricane Colin showed up for my birthday. But we just took it as an opportunity to dance in the warm rain and celebrate me hitting the big 6-0. I am 60 years old. I still can't believe I'm 60 years old. Everybody at the party thought I was 30. Because I've been bathing in this wonderful nano-energized water, and it has been wonderful because the nano-energized system, our nanotechnology for water, has been so phenomenal because the nanophysicists discovered that, number one, it would increase the oxygen in the water. Number two, it would decrease the buildup of lime in the water, and number three, it would discharge static. So I've been bathing in this water, and so many people are telling me I look so much younger and healthier and stronger. So the new 60 is, 30 is the new 60, and I had so much fun with all the wonderful accolades, and I was joined by some of the people I work with in Saudi Arabia and some of the people that were at the conference that were from Cincinnati and various places of Canada, Toronto was there. Vancouver was there. This was the AIME convention. This is a conference of bioengineers that maintain electronics in the hospital. And we were really down there to investigate what is the disposition, what's the position is AIME taking to advise and guide bioengineers in the hospital to safeguard patients from being tased and zapped from electrical equipment. And we had the opportunity to share our care model at Columbia using the Bedort testing and the Q1s and the Q2x2s and the nanos, and people were totally astounded. But I was so excited to hear that the American College of Cardiologists have just adopted a policy that before you can use any electrical device, any probe or instrument to evaluate or treat the heart, it has to be evaluated for electric leakage. And I learned something from a bioengineer who was a physicist. He told me that if there is leakage in any electrical instrument that is used inside the body cavity, anywhere near the heart, for example, they have a probe that they can stick down in the esophagus in the pipe that goes to the stomach, and then one part of it goes off to the lungs. But they have a probe they can stick into your stomach, and they can stick it down mid the cavity of the chest. And they can actually put it at the bottom of the heart, and they can do all kinds of a diagnostic evaluations of the blood vessels of the heart, of the function of the heart, of the atriums of the heart and the ventricles of the heart. And they can see blood flow through the heart through these devices. And they said if there's a leakage that is just 0.8 amperes, it can actually cause the patient to have a cardiac arrest while they're in procedure. And so he showed me how that probe, if the insulation on that probe had exposed the wiring, that probe is never to be used because it's at risk for having a leakage. So he was saying up until January of this year, there was no such policy, no such procedure for evaluating and double and triple checking these probes that are electrical sensors and diagnostic instruments that went into the body cavity. But people, when they were starting to get cardiac arrest, doctors began to document and put these in case studies and formulate questions and formulate investigations. And so the problem was significant enough nationwide that they had to take it to the governing body of that procedure and address it. And they came back and made the recommendation that every hospital, every clinic in the U.S. that uses any type of probe, any type of diagnostic instrument that goes into the cavity to evaluate the heart, that instrumentation has to be evaluated for leakage. So I was so excited to hear this information and to get the information that I was like skipping around like a little Mexican bean, because it may be just a flicker of light. It may be a flicker of hope. It may be something that is kind of far-fetched, far to the left of what we talk about in terms of retrofitting the currents in the wall, the entire electrical system. But it's a beacon of light. It's a ray of hope that the medical community is in the U.S. is beginning to awaken to the hazards of electromagnetic and Wi-Fi and wireless equipment, while that is in our hospitals and clinics and in our daily lives. So that was such fantastic news. And I really want everybody to go to AAMI.com or AAMI.org and really learn about this organization, because they're going to be the trailblazers when it comes to the medical community. They're the ones that manage electronics and manage the electrical systems. They're the go-to people, and they're the ones that's going to make a change. So we had the opportunity to network and to talk to so many manufacturers of medical equipment. And we had the opportunity to share what we were doing at Columbia, the work that we're doing, and we was received. Some people were kind of skeptical. They kind of looked at us as if to say, you know, that Q1 can't be doing all of that. Or is the problem really this serious? We were able to stir a lot of thought. And it was just phenomenal because we attended classes there. And if you remember one of our guests that was on the show, Marcia Thomas, one of the registered nurses that testified that she had multiple sclerosis. Well, she came down to the conference. I was able to meet up with her, and you'd think she was looking fabulous back in December. I mean, it was miraculous. Marcia is now off of all her medication. Remember, she testified on the radio of being off her medication. She's still off her medication. But what blew me totally away is that we had to walk and walk and walk and walk some more. This was a massive convention center. Just to walk from the parking lot to the first classroom was two city blocks. And I know we walked endlessly from 8:45 in the morning until 5 o'clock that evening. We walked and walked and walked. And she was able to have endurance like I could not believe. I was the one sitting down when it got to be around 4 o'clock. I was like, hey, I need to take me a little break. She was like, no, girl, let's get up so we can go down and get this last lecture and get this last class. But we were fortunate enough to go to a lecture to hear a man that talked about the myth of innovation. And that's where I sat down in the chair, kind of saddled back, because what he said really struck so many chords within me. Number one, he talked about 3M and the little post-it note. He talked about how 3M got birthed because they were into paints. They were into developing paints and developing all types of adhesives. And one of the first products that they developed in the early 1900s was masking tape. Masking tape got developed to solve a problem because painters wanted to paint the top of a wall one color and the bottom of a wall another color. And a painter was asked, the 3M company, because they were actually into mining and manufacturing. They asked them, would they develop a way so you could paint two different colors on the wall, bring them really close together, but not have one color run into the other color. And that's how masking tape was born. It had to have a weak adhesive that allowed the tape to pull off of the wall, and so that it made a clean cut as they were trimming the paint around the wall and around the woodwork on the wall. And that's how 3M got into the adhesive tape business, because 3M stood for mining, manufacturing, and I forget what the last M was about. But he was talking about how they almost missed the opportunity for masking tape because somebody in the executive office was very resistant to change. Then he did a sidestep and taught me something that I'd never heard in all my years of nursing. My 40 years of nursing, I've never heard this. And that was, there was a doctor in Florida back in the early 1800s that he was a gynecologist and an obstetrician. He said, I think we should wash our hands before we deliver a baby. And everybody got so mad at him because they thought that was just a waste of time. You need to just take your hands and rush and get the baby out. But all these women were dying of infections. They became septic. Their blood got infected, and they died after childbirth. Do you know that they killed that man? They ostracized and criticized him and murdered him. So I apologize for the background noise, but when you're in Florida and you got a clear, sunny night, you don't stay inside in the air conditioning. You come outside, and I'm still celebrating my birthday, so I got a lot of people around me, and I've come out outside. I'm in a parking lot, so people are around me. So if you hear people, somebody's dog just came up to give me a kiss. Did you believe the dog ran over to kiss me and jumped up on this car to give me a kiss? And now somebody is revving their engine. If you hear these background noises, that's because I'm on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico celebrating my birthday down here with friends that are down here at this conference and that have come in from Saudi Arabia. So anyhow, back to this conference. I was so blown away by that story. And they continue to talk about the evolution of 3M, how the post-it note came up, and the executive team said, no, nobody's going to buy these post-it notes. We're not going to invest in these post-it notes. So the employee of 3M did his own beta marketing test. He went to a small community, went in these stores, and asked people if they would use the post-it note. And people were excited. So excited about it that they started making orders for it, these small retailers. And so he started selling the product on his own. And then people knew that he worked at 3M, so they started calling 3M to order the post-it note. And so the executive team, after they had said no to the post-it note, they came back, they backed it up, and they revisited the opportunity of the post-it note and decided to invest in it. And it became one of the largest products. It produced one of the largest product sales in the history of 3M. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that products are developed before there are systems to quantify it that solve problems and do good to humanity. And that's what the flat battery is. That's what where the biobalancer fits in. That's what bioharmonics does. It blocks static. It stops static from getting in the body. Because why? Static creates cellular miscommunication. It can alter cellular function inside of the cell. And when you have cellular miscommunication, the cells do not properly utilize oxygen. They don't properly utilize nutrients, and that translates into cell injury, which can manifest into all kinds of diseases. And so down at this conference, they were really supporting people having openness of mind. They are addressing the fact that EMF and other environmental toxics are wreaking havoc on their ability to service the end user or patient. And so as a result of it, there was a lot of dialogue around the subject matter. Even though we only found that one company that had actually put a policy in place for their instruments to be have a safety evaluation before they went into use in the OR, the fact that they were seeking and speaking specific to EMF radiation was like a big plus. You know, for us, it was like movement forward, and we got so excited to hear and to see that they had taken this opportunity and taken this stance. And the inspiration that was given behind 3M was move forward, you know, document, do your investigative studies, document what you're finding. And that's why I thank everybody who's interrupted their busy schedule to be on the line tonight. I thank all of you in Canada and across the United States that are doing investigative studies far beyond electrical safety. I mean, I just celebrate the investigative studies that's being done in water, in home gardening, the use of household chemicals, you know, with sustaining personal injury. I had a testimony from a cyclist who usually rides 15 miles on the weekend. He said, lady, he said, I went and got two of those things. I put one in each shoe, and I'm here to tell you I rode 60 miles round trip, 30 miles out and 30 miles back, and I was not huffing and puffing. He said, I could not believe how it gave me sustained energy. And he shared that at a dinner that I was at, shared it with the crowd, and I was just spellbound. I said, this man is, you know, in his late 50s, and for him to have the stamina, he said it gives him stamina. He's been cycling for 50 years, and he's saying that the flat battery nano bio balancer gives him the opportunity to maintain his health and the stamina to enjoy cycling. And so as these case studies, these self-case studies, people are reporting about their experience, about the sustained health, it's fuel for the journey, for our journey forward. I'm so excited about our link up with the NASA scientists. We have got our equipment. Yay! Our equipment has arrived, and when I get back, I'm going actually on my way to meet with one of the scientists to get started in about a week. I'm going to be personally trained by these people who have worked for NASA and now have their own enterprise, and so I won't be getting the training secondhand. I'll be getting it firsthand. But the opportunity, I want everybody to connect with Amy. For those of you that are in engineering, they have so many training classes. Their conventions and conferences are open to the general public, to whosoever will let them come. I was amazed to find out that you can get into bioengineering in the hospital now at a technical end and work your way up, because the change in technology is every 6 months. Technology is being upgraded, and there's a revolution of how you can better manage patients. And they were blown away. We were able to give some of the leading manufacturers of diagnostic instruments a demonstration with the Q1, showing how it interfaces and will block and balance Wi-Fi and wireless. And they were just blown away at the excitement of, you know, the development of this technology and how we can develop some partnerships. We were able to talk to associations. I had no idea that each state has its own association of bioengineering and bioclinical professions and professionals, from the level of technicians all the way up to doctorate, PhDs. It's phenomenal to see how the evolution of this whole career is taking forth. And so we have two speaking engagements in these conferences that are taking place in September. One of them is an international conference, and I'm really excited about that because I'll have the opportunity to meet ambassadors. And I'm going to be speaking specifically about how this technology affects agriculture. I'm going to be using the testimonies that all of you have shared on this line, on this radio show, and I'm going to be archiving those testimonials and taking them with me, as well as my own testimonials from using it. Many of you have shared the fact that I was able to resurrect a cut flower. Someone had gifted me with a cut red rose, and the flower had died. And it was so beautiful, I refused to throw it away. So what I did was I started giving it energized water. In the morning, I get me a glass of alkaline water, and I'd sit it on a nano bio balancer and charge it up for about 5 seconds and drink it. Some days I didn't drink all of it, so I would put the last few drops over in the glass, over in the vase, where my cut flower was. And to my surprise, the flower came back to life and started rebudding its leaves and rebudding its rosebuds. And I was totally astounded that this flower was resurrecting. So we are excited about the opportunity to a retrofit to partner with farmers in crop farming to retrofit their irrigation systems with our nano water systems, because the system has documented how endurant it is. It works without power, and it you can take a HANA ORP machine and measure the oxygen saturation in the water, and it consistently increases the oxygen in the water. The longer it's on or comes in contact with the water, the more and higher the oxygen saturation is. So what it has done for Lynn to produce 1 pound tomatoes for Lynn and to grow the largest hibiscus tree for Rod and to double the size of soy plants for Clyde, who is a soy plant farmer in southern Ohio, who was on the line back in September and talked about how he retrofitted his farm with the water system, and it was phenomenal for him. It saved him thousands of dollars because it stops the buildup of lime in the drains and other mineral deposits, number one. Number two, it increased the oxygen in the water. And number three, it discharged the static. And that translated for him for farming. It translated for him in larger soy plants. And it translated on decreased maintenance costs for his farm, because now he didn't have to pay Roto-Rooter $1,000 to $1,500 a year to clean those drains, because the nano biobalancer system for water actually, because it's like a water softener, the lime was like a gel. He just scooped it off. What they used to have to chisel and use all kind of chemicals to flush, get that stuff off the line, out of off the drains, now they just scooped it off with a spoon. And so now that we are stretching forth to find where are our allies in the industry, that's what we have to do. Where you are working and living and playing, going to church and making your living, look in the community. Amy is everywhere in Canada, and it's everywhere in the United States, and there are several countries in the world. They are well endowed. This was probably a multi-million dollar conference, because they had state-of-the-art everything. The leading anyone who was in the industry was at this conference, and we met thousands and thousands of people were there. And we were just so grateful to have the opportunity and to have a corporation that sponsored us, a team of nurses, and it was just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal because, of course, bioengineering affects nurses. We're using all of these wireless systems, all these electrical devices. Blood pressures are taken with electrical devices now. They don't do the manual, even though they still have the equipment. Most blood pressures are done by the techs, by electrical or battery-powered blood pressure systems. Our oxygen, our suction, the IV pumps that are used. We were able to go into a clinical theater that was simulated a patient room with a hospital bed, with the IV pump, you know, with the suction pump, with the oxygen machine. And we were able to demonstrate and educate the medical manufacturers how these systems, when they're within a couple of feet of each other, they're binding up their field and they're creating a force that has as strong as a taser gun. And they were very intrigued, saying, you know, we never thought about this, but this definitely needs to be put into the re-engineering as we're going forth. We need to think about how we can make this event safer. And then when we demonstrated the nanotechnology, they were very impressed and very blown away. And so we looked to be able to have some more companies join us and supporting, you know, our venue and our feature technology there at the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education at Columbia University that has given us a platform to and given us a voice to the world. And we were their featured webinar. I'm not sure if that webinar is still available in their archives, but you can call up there and find out. We were their featured webinar 2 years ago to 14 different nations. I'm going to just pause right now and ask if there's any questions on the line tonight. Anybody got any questions? If not, I'll just keep on talking. I want to talk that we were able to speak to some medical device companies that were into pediatric medicine, and we were able to share with them what the World Health Organization was saying about epilepsy and seizure disorders. 1 in 26 persons are expected to have a seizure disorder in America. Why? Because, and the World Health Organization is saying that electrical current can cause seizures. So now the question has become, how can we help to safeguard these pediatric patients, our children, our youth, from being exposed to heavy, to large fields of electromagnetic current that can be high enough to cause seizures? And when we began to, again, do some Bedore testing with some of the equipment that we had and show them what our care model was at Columbia, they were astounded. They said, you know, we never thought about how this can impact, well, it can impact the health of children and the health of patients when they're being serviced in clinics and hospitals. So the future is culminating. You know, I know that I feel some days I felt like I was the only voice out there in the ocean someplace. And people thought I was crazy and calling me all kind of names and trying to put out, slander me and accuse me of so much. But at the end of the day, everybody knew. And one thing that is commonly said about Dr. Lally, from California to New York City, you know, to Saudi Arabia and to the islands where I have been to work and take the gift that God has given me to serve people with health and healing through the wisdom of mercy and grace. And they say, Doc, you are so passionate. You're one of the most passionate people that I know. And I was so tickled when I got a phone call yesterday that among the group that I presented to when I was hanging out with the astronauts, my friend called me and said, listen, we had balloons and flowers delivered to you today from the NASA astronaut group. So they had said to me in passing, Doc, you are one of the most passionate people that we have ever seen. And whatever we can do to support your mission, to validate your work, we commit to that. And so I was so tickled when they texted me the picture of my flowers. I'm going to text it to all of you guys. I have to text it to my email so you can see my flowers and my balloons from my NASA friends. But I just think I'm just so humbled by the support because they know what I'm talking about. All the years have been frustrating for me because how do you explain the fact that the electrical current in the wall behind your bed could be taking your life? People think you're crazy. And when I first got started, I didn't have Bedore testing. I learned to do muscle response testing with food. And so I'm doing muscle response testing, which people are trying to discredit, but it's as old as Methuselah, and it's the core science of physical therapy. And now so many anesthesiologists use it, patients from overdose of anesthesia. And I think that's why. But, you know, I kind of went out there because I was divinely inspired to go and carry this message and to see these children that are calling me and giving me their reports of being seizure-free when they're wearing this technology, to see the nation, the professionals in this industry, now beginning to address at least dialogue about the fact that there could be too much Wi-Fi and electrical current. We may have too. This is a high price that we are paying for not safeguarding the safety of the end user of all of these electronics. And as I went to see a family Sunday, and they had their children playing with all of these instrumentations, I said, have you stopped to check the magnetic flux, the microsurge, because you got all your children ages 2 to 12 with a tablet that could be taking their heart out and predispositioning them to need a pacemaker before the age of 20. Ladies and gentlemen, on this radio show tonight, we're moving forward. It might be an inch, but I was so encouraged that people wanted to hear what I had to say. They gave me a platform to not only speak on it, but to demonstrate it. And they said, this is important enough for us to take to our research and development department and see how we can make a change. And every single one of them asked for my number and contact information. So I don't know what the future holds, but I'm excited that you're on the line to keep me lifted in prayer, keep me encouraged with your testimonies, with your good wishes, with your goodwill, with your patience and understanding as we try to transition this. And we are going to be on an international platform speaking to African nations, speaking to ambassadors from African nations on the cultural needs. So I'm going to be calling upon you, my farming community that's on this line, that's on this show tonight, in both Canada and the U.S. We have to set up something either by Skype presentation or if we can get somebody to sponsor to bring you into the state to actually speak. I think that would be so fun. I'm going to be looking for somebody who can bring you into Canada, from Canada into the States, and from bring our farmers from Ohio and Minnesota into this international platform. We all together may become consultants to the world. So if there's no more questions on this line, I am going to get off of this line a few minutes early tonight. Again, anybody have any testimonies, any questions that they want to share? If not, I thank you for my birthday wishes. I had great blessings for my birthday. I got to talk about my birthday a little bit. My greatest surprise and blessing was my granddaughter was baptized on Sunday. And that just filled my heart, overjoyed my heart. My second greatest, all of them are great blessings. My youngest son accepted his call to the ministry, and he's going to be pursuing his evangelism. He wants to open up a foundation to help guide young people through, making critical and decisions, learning critical thinking so that they can make wholesome decisions, based upon some hard knocks he's had in his life. He is a tremendous speaker and a phenomenal writer. And I'm so excited about the foundation he's putting together and his work. And then the third thing is I've been waiting for my brother, who's a year older than me, one of my favorite brothers. He's a professional basketball player and coach in France, right outside of Paris. So his son and his wife, they had their first child. They've been trying to have a child, I guess, now for maybe 7 years. And, of course, they came to America 2 summers ago, and I packed them up with flat batteries. And they got those things out of the drawer and started wearing them, and whoop, here we had this baby. So I told them, I said, since my flat batteries was part of this union and this covenant and getting this baby here, this baby is going to have to be born on my birthday. So they're like, oh, no, the doctor said the baby's not coming until, after the 9th. I said, well, when it comes to the 5th of June, you tell a niece to get out there and start running, jogging, stretching, doing something so the baby can come on the 6th. Well, lo and behold, this morning I got a text at 3:47 Paris time. And the text said, the baby's here, Mr. Evan Wilson. I said, what? I said, you were supposed to have that baby on my birthday, June the 6th. Then it dawned on me that Paris is almost 8 hours ahead of the U.S. So at 3:47 in Paris is actually 9:47, 8 hours behind. So the baby was born on my birthday at 9:47 U.S. time. I called my brother. I said, okay, you're going to have to change the birth certificate. So that birth certificate clocks the U.S. time instead of the Paris time. So having that, I had a glorious birthday with a baby born in Paris 8 hours ahead of time, but still made it in on my birthday.
Yes.
If there's no other comments, I want to thank everybody for being on this line tonight. I want to again lift up Gagan Hunter, the naturopath that was on the line in the broadcast tonight. I sent everybody his email. You know, you can email people money on PayPal. You can also look him up on Facebook. Facebook has now got its own PayPal, in case you didn't know. You can send money on PayPal, on Facebook, and it doesn't cost you anything. Whereas if you send money to a business on PayPal, you got to pay 2%, 2 to 3%. So Facebook is in the business of bank wires now. So if anyone feels, you know, the need to share or feels like they want to be benevolent, they can share with Gagan by sending him, because I understand he was in a near fatal accident and has quite substantial medical expenses, and he's not able to work, so he's got to sustain his family, and we all know what that is, what that looks like. So I'm making an appeal for his family tonight. If you can help him out, please do. And you have his email there to do so. So if there's no other testimonials to share, I thank everybody for my birthday wishes, birthday prayers, birthday blessings. And I thank God for another year of life that he has given me to work for this journey and to see this thing to fruition. We will not stop until there's change. We will not stop until the policies, they are already in place. We just need to make them heard. We're giving voice to policies, to protocols that already exist. We're giving legs to the national call to action and lifting up its voice so it can be heard for people to check, mitigate their indoor environments, and live and have health. And on that note, I want to say goodbye to everyone, good night to everyone, and I'm so excited about what our future holds. Good night, everyone, and I'll see everybody next week.
Good night, Dr. Alari.
Good night.
Good night.